For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Now rolls to his right, has room, fires, and he finds an open receiver in the end zone, Westbrook Akine, for a four-yard touchdown reception. Back-to-back scoring drives for the Titans.
You were dead! I saw you die!
Handoff goes to Cook, through a hole, to the five, into the end zone for the touchdown!
I was faking. I used ninja focus to slow my heart rate down.
Blitz coming, fires over the middle, for Amari Super Cooper for a 12-yard touchdown reception!
What are you doing?
Bearing you.
Looks underneath, complete to Ty Johnson for a four-yard touchdown reception.
You're waking the neighbors. Oh. Shut up.
Cuts it inside, spins out of a tackle. Down to the 10, to the 5, as Hollins in front of him, and into the end zone. Ray, the pile driver, Davis.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Victory Monday. Brought to you by Northwest. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe. Got Rex Ryan ranting about the Jets.
Yeah, we need some Jets rants
the
today.
Schaden,
a lot of Jet rants.
The schadenfreude, right? That's why you say it. Enjoying someone else's pain.
Yeah.
You can't even really do it with Miami because they're hurt. You can still do it if you want to. But the Jets is great.
Oh, it's so good.
It really is great.
It might be the best it's ever been. I can remember. When's the last time you felt this good about a team just collapsing? It's so good. All of it.
Yeah.
The owner, the quarterback, the ego, the McAfee show. Oh, Davante Adams is in the frame. Look out. Like, just, oh, we're the biggest deal in the league, and then you're 2-5. Just the best. Are they? Their schedule does soften up a little bit, though. Like, they play the Patriots next week. Although, to be fair, that does open up an opportunity for things to get even worse, because if they found a way to lose to the Patriots next week. But what's left?
Right.
I was going to say, like, what do they do? They fire the GM midseason? Not that that's going to have an effect on the schedule or on the season, but maybe they would just do it because the owner's mad? The owner every week is on, like, the radio or in newspapers talking about how this is the best roster I've ever had. And, like, well, we're going for the Super Bowl. And then they just get pounded by Pittsburgh, who doesn't score on anybody. They lose to Denver. They almost lost to the Titans with Will Levis doing crazy things. So, man, for the owner every week to be like, this is the best roster I've ever had. And if they drop the 2-6 or whatever and start losing to bad teams too. Again, I don't know what's left for them to do other than just be embarrassed.
803-0550, our phone number. What are we going to do with this? This division race doesn't exist.
There is no division.
Doesn't exist right now.
I mean, Miami might keep it live a little bit.
Okay, who do they
play? Just to get to week. When do they play the Bills? Get it to that game being meaningful. The Dolphins. Tua is going to practice this week and might play. They host the Cardinals. So if they beat the Cardinals, you know, they could get back into it. I don't think they would beat the Bills in Buffalo. But they could get to that game and it still feel like it's meaningful. They're 2-4. They'd have to get to 3-4. They might, nah, even that. It's a stretch, right? Talk yourself into anything and it's a stretch. I don't think there's nothing to do with it. I think it's focused now on can you track down the Texans and the Ravens even though you don't have the tiebreaker for the one seed. And the Chiefs. You got
to
beat them.
And the Ravens can lose tonight. They do have two losses already. Texans also have two losses now. The Chiefs is who it's
Pittsburgh's
about.
Pittsburgh's only got two losses.
The Chiefs is really what it's about. Can the Chiefs stay ahead of everybody? I mean, they've beaten good teams, the Chiefs have, right? They beat the Niners.
Despite their quarterback not
I know.
Doing almost anything.
They beat the Niners. Who else did they beat? Kansas City. I'm just looking at who they've played so far.
They beat the Bengals by one. They beat the Ravens.
The Saints, the Bengals, the Ravens, the Falcons. Like, those are good wins.
Yeah.
I want to say Kansas City has good wins. Ravens, good. Bengals, probably better than we think. Falcons are no pushover. They beat them. They beat the Chargers already.
They've only allowed more than 20 points one time all season.
And
their defense is so good.
Their schedule goes Raiders next week, then Bucks,
okay,
Broncos,
Tampa,
Bills, Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, Browns, Texans, Steelers, Broncos.
That sounded awfully easy.
Yeah, the Chiefs, I want to say
that. That doesn't sound like a first-place schedule.
I'm capping their loss potential at, what, 4-3?
Yeah.
So, they don't look good.
None of that sounded all that difficult. The Carolina game, Raiders games, I don't know. The head-to-head matchup will be your only shot.
Watch
tracking them down in the standings.
Watch the Chiefs lose to the Panthers just to bother everybody. Just to be annoying. And then they'll win the Super Bowl and be like, nobody believed in us.
Yeah. And like, then the Panthers could put out some funny tweet about how, like, oh, we beat the Super Bowl. Whatever.
Can we all agree the Chiefs can't win it this year? Like, I mean, I don't mean like.
Sure, they can.
But I mean, it can't be them. It can't be them.
It again would just make it more excruciating.
They cannot have Patrick Mahomes throw more interceptions than touchdowns and win the Super Bowl.
It's inevitable. They win no matter what. Their quarterback has become a shell of himself, and they still win every single game.
They've lost so many players to injury. The Niners are having
Spags, man. It's all Spags' fault.
And he's very good. The Niners are having a cursed season, too. McCaffrey gone the whole year to this point.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk, ACL.
Yeah. Debo's out again.
Debo's been banged up. Their rookie receiver got shot. Like, it's been pretty rough for the Niners.
Yeah.
They move the ball up and down the field and can't score in the red zone, and they look like they're in real trouble. So, you know,
needed them to win that game.
You know who it looks like. If you were to say, I'll tell you what it looks like this team's year. Who do you have a name there? I think it might be their year.
Detroit.
Yeah,
yeah. Detroit would be the first team.
Detroit looks like they are stunting on teams.
The thing about that, though, is their division is so difficult.
They're all
going to eat each other alive. And even yesterday, they won that game barely, right, against Minnesota, and now they both have one loss. There are three teams in the North with 5 wins. And then Chicago has 4. So, I agree with you, but they might not win the division. And then they got to go on the road in the playoffs.
Well,
they could be the second best team in the NFC and not play a home playoff game.
They did just go into Minnesota and win.
I know. But there's a lot of work to be done. This is not – the Bills have a 2.5 game lead. The Lions are tied. They're in first by a tiebreaker. And they only have a one-game lead over fourth. Like, what do you think their odds would be to win it right now? Would you take the field over Detroit? Like, that would be my point on them. I think they're great. But I would think the field is probably more likely to win that division than they are. If I get 3-1. So the likelihood of them starting on the road in the playoffs to me is not – it's maybe even likely for them.
Yeah.
Just because of the odds of it. But they would still be my answer because they look amazing. They look amazing. Goff has like 2 incompletions in his last 2 games. So is there no one in the AFC that you would answer that for?
I mean, the best team in the AFC is the Chiefs on record. Honestly, the Cooper thing has me thinking the Bills have some juice here. Real, real juice.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think it's a transformative move.
There's nobody that just seems flawless.
They needed
right?
They needed it so bad. By getting Cooper, they lean into their passing game, which is, of course, what they're best at, what they should be best at, what they want to do most. Coleman looking every bit the part of a secondary target on the outside. I am feeling really good about the Bills. They lost those 2 games, and you know those games happened. Do they happen with Amari Cooper? I don't think Houston does. I think they beat Houston if they have Amari Cooper in the lineup. Did they beat Baltimore? Maybe not.
Probably not Baltimore. I think they would have beat Houston. I really do.
But what did Baltimore do? Baltimore shut down their offense because they clogged the middle of the field and Shakir got hurt. If Cooper's available or whatever, fast forward 2 months and it's going to be a different Bills team that Baltimore has to defend. You can't blitz Josh Allen the same way that you did relentlessly when he didn't have Cooper out there. I mean, Cooper just changes the way that teams have to play against them. So
I do kind of like the trade came after those 2 games in a way, because all the way up to the playoffs, there is going to be that not asterisk, but there's going to be that question of it. The Bills could go, if they find a way to beat Kansas City, they could head into the playoffs and we might not feel like there's anybody that, like, we, there's nobody we would know they have a problem against.
Well,
because if their two big losses are Houston and Baltimore and you have the, yeah, but they didn't have Cooper. Like, that's
true.
That's a big if.
There's one team that people would say that about.
They would just say about Kansas City no matter what?
No.
Cincy?
Yeah.
That's why I mentioned them earlier about the potential of the Bills playing
just
in round one.
Just in terms of if there's a matchup where you're saying, like, you go in, you're nervous about it, the Chiefs, you have beaten the Chiefs. We've seen it happen. We've not seen them beat Cincinnati. Burrow never looks like he has trouble against this defense, right?
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
No, that's right. Do you know who they play? It's week seven, I know. But do you know who they play if the season ended today?
Is it first round against Cincinnati?
No, they play Baltimore.
Okay.
Here.
Who's leading that division?
Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's not going to stay up, right?
No.
Their schedule, I think they are going to be better with Wilson if he plays like that, but their schedule gets so difficult.
Yeah. Let's get some calls in. It's Buffalo Bills, Football Monday, Victory Monday as well. Whipping around the league a little bit. When we do the Around the League, which we did there, is brought to you by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market. Brian in Lancaster. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Oh, hey, good morning, guys. Great show. I was actually calling in as Miles Garrett's helmet, but I guess they probably won't allow me to do that on the show. Just wanted to say I've been around Miles Garrett a long time, and he's a great guy. You should listen to him. I mean, except for that one time he tried to swing me at Mason Rudolph and assault him on the field of play. You know, he's definitely on moral high ground, and we should all listen to what he has to say. Go Bills. I love that the Jets are melting. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I mean, listen, Jameis Winston, I like Jameis a lot. I think Jameis had a big defense of Deshaun Watson after the game, talking about how he was raised, and just don't lecture anybody about Deshaun Watson. That's what it comes down to. I realize that you guys are close to him and you guys are friends with him now, and he didn't commit crimes against you, but miss me with all that trying to lecture anybody on how you were raised and how you should appropriately treat a person. Like, forget it.
And also Jameis, who he's a fun player, and I like watching him play, and he is funny on the field. He also is somebody with a very checkered past that goes back to him in college. Yep. on fronts like this. So not sure he was the right messenger in the first place.
Kyle in South Florida. Hey, Kyle.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I'm a big fan, and maybe this is just the optimist in me, of the everything happens for a reason kind of thought process in life. And I actually love what's going on right now, and we could be prisoners of the moment, and that's fine, for the fact that the first six games, the team had to develop without an alpha at wide receiver. The first six games, the team had to develop on defense without stars, specifically Taron and Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
So our debt, but those players played well. They played admirably. And now you've got a more seasoned Keon Coleman. You have a more seasoned, you know, whatever, Cam Lewis or Jamarcus Ingram. I mean, if you think about the depth now, think about this. We don't even talk about, I shouldn't say we don't even talk about, but it gets mentioned less and less on every broadcast about us not having Milano, because they've done such a good job bringing Williams up to speed, and Bernard's obviously a standout. So I love the fact that we're 5-2 going through some significant adversity early in the season, and now we're bringing in, you know, quantified alphas to our team. And being said on other podcasts, he may not necessarily be done, but we're a better team for not having Amari Cooper to start the season, or not having Taron Johnson after the first series of the season, or not having Matt Milano to start the season, than we would have been if we had them. And I couldn't be more excited about the potential moving forward.
Yeah. Thanks, Kyle. I think
I wouldn't go that far.
I think it's all fair to say, like, there are benefits that come with something that you wouldn't want to happen, right? Like, silver lining. If they had all those players, I mean, they might be 6-1.
That's the thing. That's why I wouldn't go that far.
But I get it. And I, you know, to have seen Dorian Williams get these reps, there's a point here, Kyle, I think, is making. Like, if you get into an important game and someone goes down, well, hey, Dorian Williams has a lot of reps under his belt. or Keon Coleman is maybe more involved in the offense than they thought he was going to be. Or Cole Bishop, you know, he went in against Houston. If he didn't have to go in, maybe they don't lose that game because they got hit for one big play over the top. But when he's back, he'll be more able to identify something that happened on that play. So I get it. I get it. They're good. They've got good players.
They're good.
And this is part of, like, one thing that I thought a story on this year would be is we're going to start to have the next group of stars. You know, it was Diggs and Davis, and it was Poyer.
It was Hyden Poyer.
And it was Tremaine Edmonds and Tre'Davious White and Mitch Morse. And, you know, other guys that are still here, too.
Milano
crosses over. Josh Allen crosses over. Dawkins crosses over. Now, Spencer Brown is a big part of what they do. Now, Keon Coleman, Amari Cooper, Taylor Rapp, right? Like, Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford. The next stage, the next group of your most important players is emerging.
How many of those guys would you say are actually stars right now? I would want to see two of them are playing at that level.
I would say
at least two.
The stars include, of course, Allen. And
I think the two that need to start getting more recognition on that front, I don't know if you would call them, like, end of the season, they're NFL top 100 players, but to me it's Rousseau and Benford. Those two are going to be mainstays. They are great football players.
Yeah, if you were to bet the Bills to make the top 100 next year, I mean, Allen will make it.
Yeah.
Who's second?
Cooper. Cooper's been on it.
He has a look at it if he blossoms this year, the legal, like, oh yeah, of course, right? I remember him.
He also might not be on the team.
True.
I mean, I might bet he is, but we'll see. James Cook.
They love to put running backs on that list.
I want to say Rousseau. Rousseau, to me, should be on it. 25% pressure rate yesterday. But what do they look at for that stuff? Sacks.
Yeah, it's first sack since week one.
And he's got, what, four? Three and a half? So he's on pace for, like, you know, eight. Ish. And I don't think you get on that list with that. So he would be the guy I would think about, though. Bernard. If Bernard can stay on the field, Bernard is going to be someone that's getting these type of accolades. But the point's right. Like, you are finding out who their next core of players are. And I feel comfortable right now. I feel comfortable who I'm putting in that group defensively. I'm putting Bernard, Benford, and Rousseau in that group. Like, that is their core group, I think, for years to come, assuming they sign those guys. Offensively, I like Cooper for this. I just don't know how long a relationship that will be. And then I'm more optimistic about Coleman, Kincaid, Spencer Brown signs. I guess he is a part of it.
Yes, definitely.
You know what? Offensive line doesn't come to mind on that a lot. I was going to say, like, I'm optimistic about Coleman and Kincaid for this, but I'm not, like, ready to put them in that category yet. Their tackles should both be in that. Like, that's who's second.
Yeah.
Offensively, you have your elite quarterback, Josh Allen, and then they have two very good tackles, and Dawkins might even be nearing, like, all-pro level.
Dawkins made the list last year, top 100.
Right, okay, right.
He did he got beat on Sunday.
But their second best position offense has been their offensive tackles. They are studs this year and last year.
Most important injury to watch this week in the league, not a Bills one, Jaden Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Don't forget, Sunday, 4:25, Bears-Commanders.
Oh, and they flexed that.
They flexed that in. Wow. That's supposed to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels had a rib injury. We'll see. He looked
Do you think the league was begging the Commanders not to put him back in? Like, guys, you're already up 20 on the Panthers. Can you leave him out?
I think
can
it was, four, try to... was it 20? I thought it was 14 when he went out.
Maybe
either way.
14. Yeah.
He went out and they were fine. But he looked like he was mad to be leaving.
Like, I thought he was mad because he tried to throw and he knew and it was painful and he was mad that the injury was stopping him.
Okay.
I thought he was more mad he couldn't throw. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he was mad that he was being taken out.
Yeah, give it
His
a week.
Mom tweeted that he's fine.
Oh, all right.
If you follow Jaden Daniels' mom on Twitter, she's like, oh, he's fine. So, I hope he's...
Mom knows best.
I also hope for my fantasy team that he's completely fine. I might survive with him only. Even Jaden Daniels, though. How many bad quarterback performances? He had like 2 points this year. He played one drive, still got 5.5 points.
He did.
He had 50 yards rushing on one drive.
Yep.
He's so good.
803-0550. We'll get a call in. Anthony on the other side. Love to hear from you as we roll through this Buffalo Bills Victory Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Northwest.com.
Three games in 11 days, they're 2-1. Dominant performance, wire to wire, in a game that could have been a trap game. And I think Aaron Rodgers is just getting started. He looked mobile, he looked dialed in, he looked comfortable, and every single week he's on that Achilles and he's with these players, it's only going to get better, better, and better. I'll wrap with this. I had the Jets as the number one seed in the AFC before this season. I have Rodgers as my MVP. They're just getting started while other teams have been with the same folks for years.
Peter Schrager.
That was this morning?
No, that was October when they went 2-1 and beat New England in a primetime game.
And they've since lost
four straight.
All of them. Yeah, in a row.
Who do they play next? New England.
Patriots.
No, they can get right again with a win against New England.
Man, if they lose that game, though, that'll be so perfect.
803-0550 is our phone number. It is a football Monday. Buffalo Bills Victory Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. It started at northwest.com.
They're a game. They're bye weeks always make this tough. They're 2.5 games out of a playoff spot.
Yep.
That is currently occupied by Indy and Denver are tied for the final spot right now.
At the stadium yesterday, that canopy's going up on the new one. The new stadium looks big.
It was a whoa moment for me not seeing it for, I hadn't been there since week one. So the month difference, like you see into the upper deck, like as you're passing it.
Yeah.
It might have felt like the biggest change for me from one visit to the next. How much had gone up in a month, and now the overhang, as you're seeing, like it's going over the top.
Every time I'm there these days, I think if you could only tell yourself from 10 years ago, like, oh yeah, you're gonna have a franchise quarterback, be going for your fifth consecutive division title, they're building a new stadium across the street.
Yeah,
you know, it's a testament to what winning can do, and making the right decisions, whether it's coach, GM, quarterback, of course.
Did you see the Bills mocking the Titans' schedule or season or stadium? Was it a fly-through even?
The Titans, when they released the rendering of their stadium, included a score on the board, and they had the score that they were beating the Bills.
Yeah.
Or they had beaten the Bills.
And this was 2 years ago.
Yes.
And the Bills have had that holstered for 2 years.
Apparently.
Ready for the next time they beat the Titans to put that in there. I guess it was just a rendering? Yep. I thought it was a fly-through they did that for. I was about to say, you can't mock a fly-through if you don't have your own fly-through.
Well, the Titans have a fly-through.
Right.
It might have been a fly-through, a still shot, whatever.
Okay.
803-0550.
Yeah, they've got a palace that's going up. They're going to get Super Bowls.
Who's that, the Titans? Yeah. Anthony in Toronto. Hey, Anthony, good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
Look, I was there yesterday, and if we flipped the halves, I would have been thrilled, but that first half was just pathetic. Look, we're playing a backup quarterback, a 1-5 team. And look, I want to see this team win, and maybe I just think Super Bowl or bust. But until we see him play a full game against a decent opponent, I'm still a little bit worried. I still don't see Allen as what he used to be because I think he's been neutered. I mean, he doesn't scramble anymore. I mean, every quarterback seems to be able to get 40, 50 yards, but Allen
had
a 7-yard run.
I don't know that.
But it's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that every quarterback.
It's hard. You know, yeah, finally threw for 300.
Yeah.
I want to see more. And this is a 1-5 team. There's no reason at home after 3 weeks on the road they didn't win by 50.
Well, I mean, winning by 50. How many teams in the league won by 50?
I was going to say, was there.
Who was the biggest margin of victory in the entire league this week? Was it the Bills?
By none. Was it?
I mean, they won by 24.
The Eagles won by 25. The Commanders won by 33. So they were one of the three teams in the league that blew out the opponent.
Yeah, and all I would say about,
I don't know.
Like, listen, I get it. The first half was super frustrating. The second half made up for it. I want to say, if you want to check this, you want to see them play a full game. Great. I just want to see them win. And we'll look back on like why it happened and what happened. I'm pretty sure in all three of the Chiefs' Super Bowl wins, they went down by double digits.
Wait, in all three
of their Super Bowl wins, they were down double digits.
I think that's
definitely happened both times against San Francisco.
Yeah.
Were they down double digits to the Eagles?
I'll like, look. That's 20.
You could say everything you want about how you want a perfect game, but you know they were down by 10. They were not down by 30. They were down 10.
Yeah. I mean, it does make it harder. You want them to start better.
No one would say it's better,
although
sometimes it is better, because sometimes when you get down by 10, what do? You start throwing the ball all over the place, and then you start realizing, like, oh, my God, we should probably do this all the time, and then you score 50. Like, how did – then the Chiefs' first Super Bowl, the year they won the Super Bowl, the first year, they fell down by 20.
They were down 24-14 to the Eagles at halftime.
Go to the game before that.
The AFC Championship?
Go to their first Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Their first Super Bowl – they're down 24 to Houston or 24 to Tennessee. The Chiefs, when they were at their best, wasted time like the Bills did in the first half yesterday. And then they're like, you know what? Pfft, forget this. This is dumb. We got Mahomes. And they just wing it and win. And, you know, not a lot of football teams like to just pretend you're down by 13 to start the game.
Yeah, they were down 20-10 in the second half
of
the first Niners Super Bowl.
Okay, and
going
then this,
into the
and then this last one, they were down most of the game.
Yeah.
And came back to win. Three Super Bowl wins, all trailing by 10 points or more. Why do the Chiefs have a better record? Mahomes is above 500 when trailing by 10. Why? Because when they're down by 10, they're like, "Yo, Pat, throw it." All right, sounds great. Sounds like a plan. Again, like I'm not sitting here telling you it's ideal, but 60-minute game, whatever. I'm not too worried about it. I am worried about how the first half looked. And Anthony, to your point, like I don't like that it's been four games where they've had a bad half. It's four in a row they've had a bad half.
There would be certain teams I'd be more worried about getting down to. And some of that might be game script, who does what well. Who's one team I'm thinking about right now for that is Baltimore.
Really? Who's blown more 10-point leads than any team in the league?
I know.
It's Baltimore.
But the Bills with Derrick Henry, I just would. Yeah, no, I know. That's right. That's right. They do blow. It's Harbaugh. He's been doing this for 10 years that he finds a way. So, okay, that's right.
Kyle Shanahan blows big leads. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with a general point, but I just want to leave room in there for Baltimore. Baltimore started 0-2.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, well, that's the best team in the AFC. The Jets were 2-1.
Yeah.
And now they're 2-5. So it's not always as linear as you'd like it to be. Thanks for the phone call.
They won by plenty yesterday. The Bills put out a stat that they've won more games by, I think it's now they've won more games by 24 or more in the last, since 2020. Their 15th 24-plus point win. Like, to me, their ability to blow out bad teams is the least of my concerns. They do it more than anybody.
Right.
They do it more than the Chiefs.
In this case.
By a lot.
And like I said, Anthony, I thank you for the call, and I don't even really disagree.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, like, put some context on it. We're mad about how they didn't do it earlier. I mean, you'd said you'd be happy if you flipped the halves, and they go up. The flipped half is the Jacksonville game.
Or the Miami game.
Miami game. Yeah, you go up big and the second half is boring. I at least appreciate a little bit of entertainment here.
the stat the Bills put out on that, by the way, was the Bills, it was their 15th 24-plus point win since 2020. So 15, they're number one. Second place is Dallas with 11. So like that's their thing. They're great at that.
They put teams away. And usually when they put teams away, Joe, how are they doing it?
Throwing it. Almost always. That Miami game, they did run it, but.
That's right.
Not the Jacksonville game.
And against
Jacksonville game, they just unleashed Allen against man coverage the whole day, right?
That's right.
Against Jacksonville's corners are
Dallas,
really
they blew them out with a run game last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Find a way. Jack and Kenmore. Hey, Jack.
Yes, gentlemen. I compare our two running backs now to the Thurman Thomas and Kenny Davis. The 1-2 punch that we had years ago. And I think that's great because they both get their turns carrying the ball. And the other question I have for you is thank God we got rid of number four scheme because he was a cancer. We all found that out in the locker room. That's why they dumped him. Have a good day.
All right.
Bye.
What's that?
Did you see he tried to fight the whole Packers yesterday?
They dumped him because he tried to fight the whole Packers?
No, he... That was said.
He did have a funny comment about it. So Diggs tried to fight the entire Packers team.
Him and Jair Alexander hate each other.
Right.
Like, so that goes back to the Sunday night game here. They were coming out of the tunnel already jawing at each other. Like, right. Alexander and Diggs have had a rivalry that goes back like 5 years, six years.
He had an unintentionally funny comment where he said, "I'm never the bigger person."
Yeah, I saw that.
which is revealing and fine. I don't really care about it. All I'll say is this. If the Bills had one player...
He also was asked specifically about like corners and like Matt, like guys like that. Yeah. But yeah.
If the Bills had a player that tried to fight the entire Tennessee Titans, what would we say about him today? Love it.
No, we said it. We said it about him when he tried to fight Jair Alexander however many years ago. Yeah. Was that 3 years ago now?
You love it. Love that. Not backing down. He'll take on 30 guys.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are here against the Dolphins and, you know, somebody gets over there and... I don't know who would it be. Who's the Ed Oliver is in there, John, with all 17 Dolphins offensive personnel.
Yeah.
Love the passion. So, I mean, I'm never going to get mad at somebody for passion. It didn't cost him a penalty. He got mad. He got fired up. That's who he is. Some guys play like that, and some guys don't.
Yeah. The Cooper trade does reinforce, not that this is even in question, it does reinforce that it was more about trading Diggs than it was about trading the idea of a number one wide receiver, right? They were not trading forever that we're done with number one receivers. They just wanted the value, the contract, a different person, whatever you want.
They were given a second round pick to take a $31 million cap hit.
And that.
That's what it was. That's what I would say. Like, all right, fine. If that had been a sixth, maybe they don't make it. But... sure, you want to make it that the relationship had ended? Yes. That's why the thing about it that always bothered me the most when they did it was pretending that the player he was, you didn't want anymore. Of course you did. You just thought, the situation has run its course. We have to get out of this. We'll take a second-round pick. We'll eat the cap situation. Like, there's reasons to do it. But then the spinning of, oh, no, it's better. Like, that was never going to fly.
Hmm.
And it lasted all of 6 weeks. And now they're back. Right. It's 6 weeks of like, oh, we don't want a guy like that. Yeah, you do. And you've got one that, you know, is known for being kind of a quiet guy. Okay. I wouldn't care if he's quiet or fiery as long as he's doing the job of wide receiver number one. I got what I needed. 803-0550. Lee in New York City. Hey, Lee.
How you doing this morning? Happy Victory Monday. I have a question for you guys, and I don't know if anybody can explain it, but when the Titans threw the challenge flag on the catch that Dalton Kincaid made, they challenged it as an incomplete pass, and the refs changed that call.
Yep.
So I'm trying to figure out why they did not still take the timeout from Tennessee, because the Tennessee didn't challenge if it being a fumble out of bounds. They chose it as incomplete.
Right.
So I don't understand what that was about.
I'm glad you brought this up. Okay, so Joe, help me with this play.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans challenged what? That it was a catch? Or that it was out of bounds?
I thought they challenged that it was a catch.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a catch.
Yeah.
But then they ruled that the ball was fumbled out of bounds, and then it was returned to a... So it ends up being that they moved the spot.
Yeah.
Am I losing my mind? Or did I not watch a game 2 weeks ago where a spot was challenged, and since they challenged that the line to gain was not gained, and it wasn't gained, but the ball was respotted, and they said, you are charged the timeout because you didn't challenge the spot, you challenged that the line to get... Like, they got into the semantics about what you challenged for.
Yeah.
What game was that? Somebody help me remember. We're like, what are you talking about? You moved the ball.
What was it? Was that a Bills game? It might have been a Bills game.
Was it like Bills Jets or Bills Texans?
I don't remember.
You challenged a spot. They did move the ball.
Yeah.
I felt like they were making that up. Oh, no, we're not going to charge them a challenge because even though the thing they challenged for wasn't true, we changed another thing.
I think I want to bet they got that wrong because that feels ridiculous that would ever be allowed. They challenged the incompletion because you could do that on any play.
Yeah.
Every play. In essence, it is impossible to get a spot exactly 100% right. If you're 99% right on the spot, but oh, guys, the ball was actually 3 inches further back, than we thought it was. So even though they challenge whether the quarterback's arm was moving forward, we're going to not charge them the timeout. Like, to me, I bet they got that wrong. I was in the stadium, though. I didn't hear. Did the CBS put a rules analyst on, or was he busy with another game?
Gene Steratore actually came to my seat to tell me what was going on. Yeah, he knew I was a big fan.
Terry McCauley got a workout on Sunday Night Football last night. He was on every other play in that game.
All right. Extendo Sports coming up. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up as well. Top of the hour. Sal Capaccio takes your calls on the Bills win over Tennessee.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, quick update. DK Metcalf, knee injury in Seattle's win over Atlanta. Not considered major, but maybe he misses some time.
You never know. I heard Mike McDonald after the game, basically in his post-game press conference, you know, say that they didn't think it was too serious, and he kind of banged it. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, same thing with Terrell Bernard. Like, these things happen, and you have to monitor throughout the week. But that would be a significant loss, obviously, for the Seahawks.
He tried to he tried to run on it after he injured it on the sideline, and he immediately like shook his head no with the trainers. Like, I can't run.
I'm sure he'll be on the injury report this week. I'm driving in, and I can't believe it. I almost drove off the road. What? I heard Jeremy say "shod and fraud."
Is that how you say it? Schadenfreude?
So here,
Schadenfreude.
Here we go.
Schadenfreude.
Thank you.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah, Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude was the best, though.
I knew it was wrong.
I love how you put shod and fraud together. Like, you're a fraud.
I knew it was wrong. Schadenfreude.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah, the Jets' Schadenfreude is very good.
Agreed.
If Shad Williams ever got in trouble for... No, whatever. Never mind.
Schadenfreude.
Future headline.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's... It is really interesting watching that team from afar.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, I don't love watching the Steelers win.
No. And
just in that setting. It was a one-time thing for me.
I also saw two big plays in that game. Rodgers threw a couple of picks. One's on Garrett Wilson. And the other, I saw Sam Monson, the Beanie... What's his name? The guy that made the pick. Beanie...
Wells? No.
Beanie Wells. I don't know his name. Said that like it was an unbelievable play. Rodgers did not play terribly. He actually had some bad luck. And George Pickens made an incredible catch, too. All right. Sales coming up. Your calls. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on the way.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.